1 Timothy chapter 1. I hope this won't be boring to some of you. It's just some simple things, and maybe this help maybe somebody here that hadn't heard it all, or maybe they're not, about the Apostle Paul. And so I want you to notice in chapter 1, Paul describing his life before he got saved. And verse 13, it says, "Who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord." Now, let me say this ignorantly and unbelief here. Paul was standing there, and he never got the opportunity, in my mind, to ever see the miracles that Jesus Christ did. And he'd heard about Jesus Christ. But he stood there when Stephen was stoned, and he consented unto his death, and he was so mad against the name of Christ, and he had blasphemed and was a blasphemer. There was no way that Paul could be saved under the kingdom program. Under the kingdom program, Jesus Christ told people, the leaders of Israel, "You can say what you want to against me, you can blaspheme God, but whosoever speaketh a word against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him in this world or the world to come." And the world to come was the kingdom. And so there was no way that he could get into that kingdom program, but he got saved. Because God Almighty started a new program. And we call it the dispensation of grace and the body of Christ. Now notice what he says in verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy." And here's the cause, that the reason why he obtained mercy. He said that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, if you read along with me, you didn't have no problem understanding what you just read. When he said, "in me first," when he said that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, that word "chief" is a very interesting word. In fact, the word, the Greek word, and I look at Greek, I don't read Greek, but I look up the Greek word, and I got a Greek dictionary with an English translation, and I look up, and I see how it's used in other parts of the Bible. I see how the Holy Spirit uses it, that same word, how it was translated with another word, and that's how I study it. That word "chief," do you realize it's first, means first? It's translated first in verse 16. He said, "of whom I am chief," verse 15, verse 6, "howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first." That word "first" and the word for "chief" in the Greek is the same. You'll notice also, turn with me to, and you know what "first" is. There's no need in going any further. First is not second. Second is not first. If you finish first, you have first prize. What if you finish third? Is that first is first. You can stand on your head, you can rant and rave and say, "I don't believe it." Paul said that in me first. Notice also, turn to Revelation and look in Revelation chapter 21. We're just going to look at this word just for a few moments. Revelation chapter 21. And notice in verse 4. In verse 4 is reference to what God's going to do. Now he said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That word former is the same word for chief. It's the same word for first. The former things, the bad things, the awful things. He said the former things shall pass away. Turn with me to John and look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And notice in John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. That word before is the same word that's translated chief, first, former, before. Notice in verse 30. And this is of him whom I said after me, cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, if you're before somebody, what are you? You're first. And you see how the Holy Spirit uses that same word, and it gives you the idea of what chief really is. Chief has to do, well, notice in Acts 13, in Acts chapter 13, notice in verse, 50. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city. Now that word, the chief men, is the same word, chief. Well, what would that tell you about them men? If you were the chief men of the city, wouldn't you be the one that's in authority? Wouldn't you be the one that had the power? Chief. Notice in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And this will be our last one, but in 2 Peter, and notice in verse chapter 2. Notice in verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they had escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The word beginning is the same word as chief, first, former. I mean, folks, when you look at all of this, the beginning is the starting point. Before is before anyone else. Amen? Jesus Christ was before John. He's before anyone else. The former is the worst of the worst, the bad. And it has to do with the chief, one in authority. I got Paul as the worst of the worst sinners that God put in authority, that he was before anyone else. And he's the starting point that makes him the pattern for salvation in the dispensation of grace. So when he says, I'm chief, he's not just saying I'm the one that's in authority. He's saying I'm the baddest. I'm before anybody else. I'm the beginning of it all. I'm the one that God put first into that body. He's the chief of sinners. Now I want you to notice some things about this. Turn to Ephesians and notice in Ephesians chapter 2. And notice also in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. Paul is the starter of this building. Okay? Now, what God is doing today is that he's building a building. He started a structure. It's a spiritual building, but nevertheless, it's a building. Now notice in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the first. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Now Jesus Christ, is the beginning of the body, the building. In fact, hang on to, just turn the page down, turn over to Colossians, and look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and notice in the verse 18, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the what? Beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Then this building is the church. Jesus Christ, as the head, is the chief cornerstone. He's the first. He's the beginning. He's the foundation. Are y'all with me? Now, back in Ephesians, Jesus built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together in that building now, for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Then the God today, Jesus Christ being the foundation of this building, God is building a building in the dispensation of grace. He is saving people by his grace, putting them in that body, in that building, so to speak. And so the building is a spiritual building. It's called a house. We read the verse in Sunday school. Look over in 1 Timothy. And notice in chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, then the house of God is the church of God, and that church is a building, and that's what God's doing today. Now, God is not advancing no kingdom. He's not sending people out to cast out devils out of people. He's not sending people out to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's not doing none of that stuff today that the apostles did. What's God doing today? He's having men to preach the gospel of Christ so that sinners can be saved when they hear that gospel and believe that gospel, and God Almighty puts them in that building as he sees fit. He sets them in there. He gives them a position in that building. That's what God's doing today. Now notice Paul about this. Number one, Paul was the one the Lord put in authority. Turn back to Romans chapter 11. in Romans chapter 11. I read an article about a Jewish man that trusted Christ as his Savior. And he said to the Protestant people, he said, "You realize that a boy, a Jewish boy, by the time he's 12 years of age, knows all of the Torah. He knows all of the scripture, Old Testament scripture. He has them memorized." He said, "But it's fascinating. The majority of people that claim to be following Christ do not even know who their apostle is." Now you think about that. They knew who their apostles were. They knew who theirs was, the 12. But the majority of people today that claim to be Spirit-filled, led by the Scriptures, are praising God and doing great works for God, they don't even know who is in authority or who their apostle is. I remember one time a man came in there and we were going to class. And he sat down there and he said, "Praise God for last night." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "God Almighty spoke to me." I said, "Why did he?" He said, "I heard it. It was an audible voice." And said, "I just was like I was there." And we just had a great service. And I looked at him, and this, I declare, the Lord knows I'm telling the truth. I looked at him, and I said, "Well, do you know what the gospel is?" He said, "Yeah, there's four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." Are you kidding me? People today that don't know what the gospel is, people today that don't know who their apostle is, they don't know who to follow. How in the world can they be following the Lord? Listen, they're listening to a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of the Lord. And people are duped, they're deceived, they're blinded by the religion that they're serving, and they're in the church that's taking them and robbing them and fleecing them every Sunday morning, and they don't even hear about their apostle or what God is doing to them for them today. You believe I'm telling the truth? Go out there and ask them. Go to your friends that's got religion or in some church somewhere. Sit down with them. Ask them what the gospel is. Ask them who their apostle is. Ask them who's in authority that God put in authority. "Well, I believe in following Jesus Christ." You can't follow Jesus Christ if you don't follow the apostle that Jesus Christ sent to you. No more than Israel could follow God if they didn't follow Moses. There was 250 men that got their own censers out, and they decided, "Moses, you take too much on you." And they got out there and they said, "We're not going to listen to Moses. We're not going to follow Moses. And we're going to have our own." And we went out there and lit their little censers and everything. And you know what happened to those 250 men? They went to hell in their shirt tail before they knew what hit them. God opened the mouth of the earth up and swallowed them up. You know why? They couldn't get their fire from off the altar. It was two guys there, Aaron's sons. And Nadab and Abihu, they went and decided. They got in a big way. They got goosebumps one time. They got in a big way after the Lord done a mighty work. And so they decided, "Well, we'll just go and we'll offer incense to the Lord." You know what happened to them? God killed them. You know why? You read the Bible, you find out why. Because only the incense could be burned from the fire that come off the altar. Do you know what the sacrifice of the day that God offers, accepts today and preaching that is acceptable to the Lord today? It's when it's the fire of the Lord comes off the altar. It's the cross. And people despise that. Why, you preach the same old message all the time. Well, you wear your hair the same all the way. You don't hear me griping about it. Folks, I'm telling you, people don't like to hear the gospel. They don't like to hear that their sinners need a Savior. They don't like to hear that there's a one that God gave in authority. Well, look in Romans chapter 10, 11. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. God gave him an office, and he magnified that office. Paul did not magnify himself. Paul did not glory in himself. Paul magnified the office, the position that he gave to the Lord gave to him. And he suffered for it. Paul's your apostle. Paul was the master builder. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We said he's building a house, a building. You got to have a foundation. In that foundation, notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. He's the chief architect. He's the one that God gave the blueprints to. He's the one that God gave the how to build the structure to. He's the master builder. And he wrote it down for you. Look what he said. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now you know what Paul's saying? Jesus Christ is the true foundation. But it's the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to Paul, is the foundation of the body of Christ. You understand? In fact, look at this thing about it. Turn back with me and notice in, I'm not going to go back, but look in, well, Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, he said there in verse, he asked them who thou art, Simon Peter, verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice over with me. Turn to John. And notice John. In John chapter 6. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now folks, Peter knew who Jesus Christ was, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. His name is Jesus. That's why you have in the book of John, you have that everything's to believe on his name. Turn over to John. Look at John 21. John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 30. John 20, verse 30. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Why was John written? Come on, folks. According to that verse, why did God write, have John to write these things down? To show that he, Jesus, is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his what? Name. Believe in the name Jesus Christ. Do you not realize Israel did not believe that Jesus was the Christ? They do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God even today. Israel has to believe in the name. What is his name that God gave him? God has given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, his name is Jesus. And that's what Israel's downfall is, what it was and what it is today. And if a Israelite gets saved today, he's going to have to accept the fact that Jesus, whom he did not believe in, that Jesus was the Son of God that went to the cross and died for his sins, or he cannot be a part of this building. Now, in fact, look over in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4. And notice what he says in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Israel. There is no other name. They have to believe in the name. But folks, you can believe in the name today and end up in hell. Many religions believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but they're not saved. That's where your apostle comes in. That's where the foundation of the body of Christ comes in. The foundation for the body of Christ is not believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That's important. You must believe that. But that would get people in Israel's day and Peter's day saved looking to when they get baptized and looking to remission of sins. I hope y'all catching what I just said. But look on. Paul's the one that's in authority. Paul's the master builder. Well, what is the foundation? Jesus Christ is the foundation. But it's the preaching of Jesus Christ. Notice, according to the revelation of the mystery, look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And Paul calls this my gospel. In Romans chapter 16, notice in verse 25, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Then it's the preaching of Jesus Christ as according to the revelation of the mystery is the foundation of the... Well, what is that mystery? Well, turn over back to look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God before ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then I know that wisdom that Paul preaching about has to do with the crucifixion. Right or wrong? Right. Look back with me and notice what he says there in verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In verse 20, down there, verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Why is it a stumbling block? He's preaching Christ crucified. That's the foundation. But to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Why is it a stumbling block? Because they don't believe in the name of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was who He said He was. But the gospel of Christ is that Christ died for all of your sins and was buried, and God raised Him the third day for your justification. He took your place on the cross. He died your death. He took your wrath. He took your punishment, and He went to hell for you, and God gave Him eternal life, and those that will believe that has eternal life with Him. That's good news. You couldn't beat that with a stick. That's the foundation on which this building is made. That right there. That's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Paul was the one that was the master builder. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Notice in 1 Corinthians. And you know, and I don't have time to read all of it, but, well, look back in chapter 4 before you leave 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through you joining my church. Me baptizing you? Signing a card? No, I have begotten you through the gospel, the good news. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He calls it my gospel. And I don't care what Jesse the Plantis has to say about it. When he makes fun of Paul, said he got called up to the third heaven, went up there and old Paul was still running around there hollering, my gospel, my gospel. Jesse's preaching this. And the crowds are roaring. Said he got called up to the third heaven. Jesse said he did. You know what Jesse's doing? He's lying through his teeth. I'd call him a liar to his face. Probably going to go out on YouTube and I hope he sees it. Folks, I'm telling you something today. There's one foundation for the body of Christ. It's the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul's the one that gave it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. How are they saved? By that gospel. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Where did he receive it? He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man, for neither was I taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He got that gospel on the road to Damascus that Jesus Christ preached to him. Jesus Christ delivered to him on the road to Damascus how that he died for his sins, and his sins was paid for, and his sins was done away with, and Paul was saved by that same gospel that you and I are saved by. Hallelujah to God. You know how I know I'm saved? I know I'm saved because of what Christ did for me. I know I have justified, I have life eternal because of Christ and what he did on the cross. Not because I get up on Sunday mornings and go to church. Not because I try to live good. I'm not very good. I not only have road rage in I admit sometimes I get upset if I drive. But it's getting where I get that way in Walmart pushing a buggy with June. Over there the other day, I mean, I was pushing that buggy. Finally, she just took the buggy. Every time I'd stop, having to stop, wait, and it was coming at me all directions. I mean, you know, so I can't even push a buggy. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. But Jesus Christ went to that cross for me. And Paul laid the foundation. He said, verse 3, he said, "For I delivered unto you first that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." You want to be saved today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul told that Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for you. Believe that, put your trust in the cross. If I go to hell, I've gone to hell believing that Jesus Christ died for all of my sins. You won't go to hell. You'll have eternal life. Paul, not only was the master builder, laid the foundation. He told the Corinthian church, he said, "I determined to know nothing save among you but save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He's not only the master builder, but He's the pattern. Second, 1 Timothy, where we read, Paul is the pattern of salvation. Paul was not doing something religious on the road to Damascus. Paul was not being a good man on the road to Damascus. This man had hauled people, stoned people, put them to death. Can't you imagine when the Lord showed up on the road to Damascus and knocks him flat and he's laying there? "Who art thou, Lord? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You know what that prick is? Can't you imagine what Paul felt like when Jesus told him, said, "Why persecutest thou me?" I imagine Paul remembered as a young man Stephen, the one that stood there and preached, and he heard the message full of the Holy Ghost. And Paul, consenting unto his death, had him put to death in stone. I imagine there as he won and hauling women and children and daddies and having them put to death and put them in prison for the name of Christ. Don't you reckon that was tearing him up? And now I'm facing the Lord. I mean, you think about a man that laid there, probably heartbroken, broken and contrite. I mean, his spirit was broken. There he laying flat on the ground, face in the dirt. And he's talking to the one that he was trying to get rid of. And he said, "I'm the pattern that in me first God might show forth all long-suffering." You don't know how long-suffering God is. God could have killed Paul. Paul deserved to die. Paul deserved to be in hell. But God, by His grace, saved him and forgave him of all of those sins and justified him. Thank God, I look at my life. I should have went to hell. I deserve hell. I deserve pain. But He took it from me. And He went there for me by His grace. Paul's the pattern of salvation. He left us the blueprint and instructions to follow. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I was reading a book, and about this writer is talking about James, the book of James, and he said how that James, the Lord's brother, had wrote that book. I don't believe James, the Lord's brother, wrote the book of James. I believe James is probably the earliest book in the New Testament, so-called. I believe James was wrote sometime between Acts 9 and Acts 12. James got his head cut off by Herod in Acts chapter 12. I believe the James that wrote it was one of the 12. He never met Paul. There's no grace in Paul or James. But Peter and them knew, and why am I saying this? Because, folks, most of your Bible was written. Paul completed it. Look what he said in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. In other words, Jesus Christ suffered all he could do to suffer. He couldn't suffer no more. He can't die no more. No, he can't have no more. He done bore everything that needed to be bore. He done died. He can't suffer. Well, somebody's got to carry that message. And Paul suffered for the church. Paul took that message, and Christ in Paul went into those synagogues and into those places, and he was whipped and beat and stoned and mocked and run out of jail and whipped and, I mean, beat like a pulp. He's doing that. Christ is Paul suffering for you to bring that gospel to you. Peter never suffered for you. Peter suffered, but it wasn't for you. The 12 suffered, but it wasn't for you. Paul, your apostle, suffered for you, and he filled it up. Look on. Whereof I'm made a minister, verse 25, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to what? Fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. Folks, this right here was a mystery. Nobody knew about this church and his gospel. Nobody knew that God would save people like you. God never promised to save nobody like you. God promised to save the Gentiles through the nation of Israel. Israel, the blessings of God was to flow through Israel unto the Gentiles. But God today is blessing and saving Gentiles, not through Israel, in spite of Israel. And Paul suffered and fulfilled. And you have the blueprints and the instructions in Romans through Philemon. And Paul gave us instructions on how to get into this body. One last passage. You're there close. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 1. Notice in chapter 1, he said in verse 12 that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed that gospel, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Look in chapter 3, verse 6, the mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by what? The gospel. You want in the body of Christ? You got to believe the gospel. Simple as ABCs. He told the Corinthian church, I've begotten you through the gospel. I laid the foundation. It's by the gospel. He calls it my gospel three times. In the book of Romans, and twice in Romans, once in 1 Timothy. but he talks about that God would have all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am a preacher of the Gentile, of that gospel, and a preacher and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul gave the instruction. It's not joining the church. It's not being baptized. It's not none of those things. It's simply believing that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and God raised him the third day. Now, that reminds me, if you'd like to join our church, tell me and I'll have your name put on the roll. If you're not sure your name's on the roll and you're saved, then let me know and I'll check it. If your name's not on there and you want on there, you can join it. So, well, what's the benefit? Well, there's only one. If you die, you'll be buried out here. You get a grave. Now, that's a real promotion right there. I'm sure we'll have multitudes who will join our church to get a grave. Shake hands with one another and you can go.